Good morning and welcome to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, WHTC Money Matters.
And good morning, West Michigan. This is Jack Godfrey. Kerry Cooley will be here in just a couple minutes. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Our show today is going to be Mid-Year Checkup. 5 months have gone by, and now it's time to give you a checkup. We'll have that at the second half of our show. We always go through the numbers, but hey, today's show is being brought to you by Mary Jo Borman of Borman Law Offices. Mary Jo Borman is located in our building at 123 East Main in downtown Zeeland. She's an estate planning attorney. Feel free to contact her at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at bormanlaw.com. That's www.bormanlaw.com. If we take a look at where we are year to date right now, you know, despite the news saying we're at an all-time high every day, it's getting kind of boring that they're saying that, but here's where we are. S&P up year to date 5.24. I am happy with 6% just for the whole year. For the year, S&P is up 20.6. For the 3 year, 16.48. Those are tremendous numbers for year-to-date, 1 year, and a three-year number. If we look where not to be right now, year-to-date is across the board, small-cap growth, small-cap value, small-cap blend. Small-cap growth down 4%, small-cap blend down 2.29, small-cap value down 0.44. However, you take a look at the year. That's June 4th to June 4th. We're taking a look at each one of these. Small cap is up for the year 16%. So you still have done well in small cap, and it might be time to continue to buy more. So it's one of those areas where small cap is down but not out. If you take a look at the best place to be year to date, it's our favorite spot, mid cap. It's mid cap value. If you take a look at the 1 year, it's 23% virtually across the board for mid-cap. And if you take a look at the three-year, it's 14.32 for growth of mid-cap. So mid-cap is the star for the year-to-date, one-year, and the three-year numbers. If you take a look at sectors, if you take a look at emerging markets year-to-date, emerging markets starting to heat up right now. Emerging market year-to-date is 3.91. However, the last 3 months, it's up nearly 9%. So people who vacated that space a year ago should now be, of course, taking some course of action to, you know, reallocate some of your portfolio. And we like 5 to 7% in emerging markets if it fits your portfolio. And we also want to welcome Kerry Cooley back to the show live.
We're both live today.
I know. It's good. It's awesome. So we were just talking about foreign. We believe emerging markets ought to be 5 to 7% of your portfolio if it fits in a growth and income portfolio. But, again, that is the best three-month number across the board is in the emerging market, which is up 8.65. It's a big number.
Good numbers for the year, though. Very good numbers.
Yeah, really good numbers. If you look at the 3 month just for the S&P, the S&P for the 3 month is 3.43. So emerging market leads all categories. So it is a category that you should always be in. It hasn't been that good overall. You take a look at the 3 year number, it's down almost 1%. So if you look at the other categories, you know, across the board, you're up double digits. So it's just one of those that, you need to have some allocation. It's heating up now, but you always need to have 5 to 7%.
All right. You want to move on to buy the numbers?
Sure. Let's go buy the numbers. Yeah.
Do you know that June, out of 12 months of the year, where do you think it ranks as far as the market return? Is it at the top?
Number one.
It's actually at the bottom half, number 10.
Well, see, I didn't read that. I didn't want to read your stuff.
Okay, I thought maybe you read it before I got here.
No, I didn't read your
stuff.
No, I wasn't taking your stuff like you take mine. No, you cross over and steal mine if it looks good.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I do, because you always get the good ones.
Yes, yeah, I get the bottom half of the list. Okay, here's a good one. The jobless claims. This is really a good number, so pay attention, Kerry. 2.6 million Americans were receiving unemployment as of 5/17. That's May 17th, last month. The lowest number to receive benefits were 11/17/07, 6.5 years ago. It's the lowest number since then. So if you take a look at these numbers of unemployment, if you go back to 07, there were 7.17 million unemployed. So we continue to, believe it or not, I wouldn't have known this number either, but we're coming in at a pretty low number here for unemployment benefits. It continues to go down, which is, you know, I also realize there's a lot of people who are underemployed and stop looking for jobs.
Yeah, I mean, those are numbers that we can't count because they
don't know what they are.
Exactly. And it's one of those things that there's still a lot of people, like you said, Jack, underemployed, and there's a lot of people that have just stopped looking. They don't file. And I think that number, the true number, is really bigger than what it is.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. So borrowing money, let's take a look at borrowing money. 70% of all consumer debt in the United States is made up of what? I'll give you a question. 70% of all consumer debt is what? And I'll give you some consumer debt ideas. Mortgages, student loans, credit cards, home equity loans. What's number one?
Credit cards.
Total mortgage debt.
Really?
Yeah. That's okay. I wouldn't have guessed that either.
What would you have guessed?
I would have guessed credit cards.
Okay.
But it's consumer debt. 70% of consumer debt today is mortgage, and I guess that's a good thing.
It is.
If you're going to have debt, the number one thing to have debt in is mortgage.
Well, yeah, because that's a home, place that you live, you hope over time it should appreciate. In real estate, you know, like Jack, we've mentioned before, if you look back at history, real estate's still the number one performing sector.
Oh, it is always the best place to be. Now, it takes dips, I understand that, but if you look at over time, 14.5% return. Speaking of return, this is a good one. This is kind of a funny one. Not a funny one, but actual one. NBA just approved the sale of Milwaukee Bucks. And Herb Cole, you know Cole Stores, bought the team for $19 million in 1985. Sold the team last month for $550 million.
That's not a bad return.
It's only 12%. Only 12%. Can you imagine that? That's 12% return.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you had had in the market $19 million, and over a long period of time, the market has returned 12%, that's what the return is.
Hey, we're into the summer months, right? You know, June, July, and August. Do you know what the average return for those 3 months?
6%.
Actually, a loss of 0.5%.
God, I've been terrible for the whole time. That's just terrible.
All right.
All right. So investors just turn off the show then. Just turn it off. Not making good guesses.
All right. What do you have else on the list?
Oh, here's another good one. And I was just talking to Claire about this. Claire sitting across the table since you came in late. You haven't been introduced to Claire yet, but I don't want to say that on the show. And I was telling her she just graduated from Granville. I go, you need to get two jobs. She looks at me like, you just better be quiet.
He was pretty nice to you then, because usually it says three.
Well, you know, I just met her. So is Claire ever going to get on the show, or is she just like listening, Dan?
Yeah, she can get on. She's kind of viewing this week.
Viewing. Okay. All right. We're going to break her in right then.
Bring
she's
her in slow.
She's going to bring in a fray.
I forgot to warn her about you guys. Trust me. They're not nice. They're dogs.
Yeah, dogs. All right. So here's another good. Just 1 out of 20 employed American works multiple jobs. 1 out of 20 work a second job. That's not good enough.
That is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
You know, it's been 8 months since the beginning of quantitative easing, or what they call QE1. And Ben Bernanke wrote a newspaper article back on November 2008 here, and it's called the Fed's Exit Strategy, in which the chairman outlined four strategies that the central bank could utilize to pull back money that it has infused into the banking system. And guess what? We still haven't done it.
Yeah. Well, but you know, people think we're going to raise interest rates. We're not going to raise interest rates. We're not going to raise interest rates.
It's going to be very difficult.
Very difficult to raise interest rates. You know, people like to talk on the radio, be prepared for the interest rate increase. We're not raising them soon. We're not. Here's a good one. 277,000 seniors. That means turning 65 every month during 2014. That's a lot of people.
How many again?
277,000.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of people turning 65.
You're there, aren't you?
I will be there in 3 years. Right. 3 years. Mark it down.
Right.
Mark it down.
All right. Hey, below average, you know, the U.S. economy has contracted or shrunk by 1% in the first quarter of this year, which is surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising compared to, like, you know, things are, I think we're in the fourth inning of a nine-inning game with this economy right now. I think things are doing very well. Here's really interesting. This is compared to the biggest. The largest year-over-year increase in the consumer price index took place. I'm going to give you the question. Took place in what year? The largest increase in consumer price index.
The largest increase in consumer price.
It was 2 years after my dad was born. Well, I'm going to give you an area.
Well, you give me an area. But okay. Actually, you know, before that, I was going back. Going to go back to the Clinton era.
June 1919. It was 23%. That was because
you're that old.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. My dad was born in 1917. My boy was August 19th, 1917. So, but the reason that was going up so high is because we had so many demand for jobs were tremendous. So you know, you take a look at that, unbelievable. Right now, you know. Just recently, though, the most 12-month period is 2% CPI. Now, last month, it was 1%.
Mm-hmm. Hey, our board operator here is saying take a break. Okay. So, listeners, hey, thanks for joining us this morning. We're going to be right back with more of WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. Thanks for joining us on WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Our show today is going to be a mid-year checkup. However, we have people who do write in questions. And if you want to call us today, 395-1450, we're taking your calls right now.
Right now.
So, hey, here's the first question. We always try to have Social Security questions because, you know, we do help people with strategy of Social Security. And we were just at... So the church, I keep on forgetting, it's on 40th Street.
It's on 40th Street okay. By Holland Christian.
Yeah, come on, you can't think either.
No, I can't. Okay. It's Central West.
Okay, so we were just there last week, and we did a Social Security workshop. We had like 55 people there, and it was the whole strategy the whole time. Yeah, should I do this? What about this? And we didn't even get through our presentation. We had one sentence of our first slide of 10 slides. The rest are questions.
And that was awesome.
It was really awesome.
Because that's what people want to know. And this is a great question here, Jack. This person's was married for 14 years and now has been divorced for 34 and never remarried. Her ex is 69 and draws Social Security. I will be 62 this year. Can I still work and draw his Social Security?
Well, it's got to be a strategy. I mean, you know, first of all, you have to be married for 10, which that has occurred. Second, you need to be at least 62, which you are going to be this year.
And not get remarried.
And not get remarried, or that goes away. And fourth, you must be entitled to a higher Social Security benefit than your own. So the strategy is this. Take half your husband's, continue to work, and take your own at 66 or 70. That should be your strategy. Take his now, which is half of his. And if he dies, you can get all of his. But... take half of his and collect on yours later.
Mm-hmm.
But the caveat is half of his has to be more than yours. So that's the caveat. So
you gonna read the next one?
I like that because I'll give you the easy question. I'll give you the softball again.
Well, hold it. You get the short question here. You know,
well, that's good. It's an easy answer for you. I have a CD in a bank. It's an IRA CD, though. Do I have to take an RMD from that, or can I take it from a different IRA?
You can take it from a different IRA. The key is it has to be the total amount that, you know, you look at all your IRAs. There's a certain required minimum that has to be taken out. You can take that all out from one or a multiple or wherever you would like, but you have to meet the total for the year.
Right, and you would probably want to take your RMD for the lowest performing,
Well, that's
section.
Easy. That would be the CD.
So you know, but you need to come up with a strategy. Yes, you can, and we have multiple people that take it from one source and let the other ones continue to grow because they're doing off the charts. So we try to, you know, we by the end of the year we have you know, we have a couple of people who manage RMD for our customers, and it's a strategy. Every year, it's not the same. It's a strategy every year. So not an easy answer, but yes is the answer.
Well, and the other thing to remember in RMD, you don't have to take cash. If you have an investment, a stock, a mutual fund that's in your IRA, you don't have to sell it. You can move that amount of that security or investment to a non-IRA account. You don't have to sell it and buy something else. If it's a good investment, keep it.
Right. The key thing here is, though, you know, we'd like you to take it from the CD because that's your lowest performing. Mm-hmm. That's the place. So I'll read the long question. I am retired, collecting Social Security, and I have a fully paid up whole life policy with approximately $182,000 with cash value. I'm sorry. I have a paid up policy with 182 life with
death
a cash
benefit.
Value of 118.
Okay.
Our home is nearly paid for and we have other investments. If I want a 15-year stream of income from this policy, what is my best choice? Can I convert the policy to a paying out annuity?
Well, yeah, you can, but you really need to run the numbers. You know, most whole life policies, you know, they give you the opportunity to retrieve or pull funds out for living purposes. However, you know, there are some caveats here. You do not have access to your policy, and you know, there's some specifics here that you need to know about. You know, you have two choices. You know, you can borrow from the policy, or you can surrender the policy. Now, if you borrow from the policy, that keeps the policy in force. If you surrender the policy and take the cash, you don't have a policy. You don't have a death benefit anymore. So that's gone. And so you really have to look at what the goal is here of what this individual wants to accomplish. You know, the policy may have an option to create an annuity for a specific period of time for the cash value. Some of them have that. And we'd have to dig into what is out there. We'd have to dig into the policy and find out what options when this person originally signed up for it. And then we can figure out what would be the best course of action. But to pull the money out to, you know, pay off the house or do things like that, I wouldn't be too quick to do that, because if your house and let's say your home loan is, you know, 4% or under, that's cheap money. So you don't want to be too quick to pull it out to pay, but if you need it to help live off of, there is some options out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing you have to realize here is you must always keep the policy in force. And what you're going to have here is you want to get an in-force illustration to say how much is this money going to grow. And one thing we didn't hear is how old this person was. That's a key thing. Some of this you might want to take to another policy. Some of this you might want to take to another policy, because other policies could offer you long-term care. So you might want to take, again, I don't know how old this person is, but just say you might want to take $30,000 and get $150,000 worth of whole life coverage, a newer policy, because they have new life tables, and they might get long-term care for $150,000.
Well, the important thing there, by switching from one life insurance to another one, it's a 1035 exchange.
Yep.
It's a tax-free exchange, so it's a non-taxable event. So thing I can give you is go out there and call the home office of the insurance company and find out the details.
And you need to get in-force illustration.
Exactly.
That's what, but, you know, look at this right here. I'd want to get another quote from another insurance person, which would be us. Or somebody else, because mm-hmm. I think if you go back to this person, they're going to want you to keep the policy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's plenty of other options here. There's a lot of different options. But right now, our only option is we need to take a break.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. This is WHTC Money Matters and your host, Kerry Cooley.
Hey, and this is Jack Godfrey. Hey, give us a call, 395-1450. If you have calls, we're taking calls right now. We're going to get into our show, Mid-Year Checkup. I want to talk about next week, Kerry. I'm going to be gone next week, making a UP tour, speaking tour next week. That'd be to the Bears. So I'll be gone next week for the entire week looking at the UP. So going to St. Ignace, going to the Sioux. I'm going to Marquette, going over to see Tom Izzo's folks over in Ironwood.
To Conman Falls?
Yeah, all that stuff. And
all
then going
stuff.
Over to see a ball game at Minneapolis and down to Milwaukee.
So you're doing the Round the Lake Michigan tour?
Yep, at the
tour.
Top. At the okay. top. We're not going the bottom tour, doing the top. So we'll be gone okay. next week. But next week, you're going to have Stacy Campice here. They just moved into a new building.
Right next to Bob Evans.
Yeah, Bob Evans. That's important. And so they're going to be talking about Affordable Health Care Act, getting an update. And Stacey's going to be here with you, so you get her all by yourself.
Oh, that's okay. She is awesome. She'll be, you know, listeners, if you have questions, call her office, you know, leave questions for Stacey.
Yep, yep, on the Affordable Health Care Act or anything, especially if you are turning 65 this year. Great questions for you to call in and say, hey, what about this kind of stuff? So anyway, we're going to talk about mid-year checkup.
Hey, you know, one of the most important things we always tell our listeners, you know, is... And this is the purpose of the show, is educating people. You know, go out and get educated. Go to workshops. Go to, like, our workshop on Social Security, you know, here a couple weeks ago, Jack. We have workshops throughout the year on, you know, how to, do you have enough to retire, you know, type of workshops. So the key behind going out there and helping yourself with your finances is getting educated. You know, don't go to a workshop where they're going to sell you something. Go to a workshop that's going to educate you, teach you about your finances, teach you about what you should be doing now at this point in your life, because that changes throughout your different life stages.
You know, I was just looking, Carrie, of, you know, trying to educate our customers on where they should be putting some of their investments this year. And a couple things that you need to be thinking about is where we are year to date with some of these sectors who are trailing upward, and that would be the healthcare sector. That would be utilities. You know, just look what the EPA just came out with in 30 years. I think it's 30 years, or maybe it's in 2030. I guess it is. So that's 16 years. Coal, you know, is going to be less of a factor. I mean, they have such high regulations. So you might want to be thinking about where you are on the energy cycle. Where are you on the gas? There's lots of places to invest with the gas boom that we're seeing right now. If you're not part of that, you should be part of that. So everybody heard of the tech cycle in the 80s and 90s. You're either in it or you're at the tail end, and being at the tail end is not good. But I still think we're on the ground floor of the energy cycle in the U.S., and you need to be part of that. You need to talk with somebody to be part of it. So part of this education is, you know, the old sector is we do stocks and we do mutual funds. No, there's a lot of other things that we do to make people money that other people might not talk to you about, and that being the energy sector is one you ought to take a look at. So, Carrie, you're talking about educating yourself into being into some of the better sectors is where you need to be.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, you mentioned, too, the tech sector, information technology. You know, that back in 2000, you know, we had the tech bubble. But if you go and look at tech stocks now, Jack, there's a lot of good values out there with some good quality companies, and there's some good values out there to be purchasing. Now, we can't mention any stock or specifics, but, Jack, I absolutely agree. You need to look at not only, you know, having growth and having large and medium and small company stocks in your portfolio, but you need to look at the different sectors of the market and see where there's opportunity for a lot of growth. And I agree, the whole energy sector is booming. That's, you know, one of the things that a lot of companies are still cautious of. You know, when you think of energy, you also think of, you know, you think of solar power, you think of wind power. These are still fairly new, and most of these companies out there that are making these products are not profitable yet. And so there's a big risk in some of those, but yep, it's more like the gas and things that we use, but using it more efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, there's some funds out there that are just water companies, and those have done extremely well, but how many people want to talk about water? But it's done well. Utility stocks have done well. Energy stocks have done well. But you need to find how are you going to enter into that? Do you buy one stock? Do you buy a mutual fund? Do you buy a master limited partnership? Do you buy something in the BDC section, which is business development companies under Act 1940, under the 40 Act? So how do you buy into some of these? Do you buy exchange traded funds? Some of these exchange traded funds are specifically in those sectors. So educating yourself is very important, and, you know, even educating yourself on where's the best place to be. And some of these people that we talked to out at the church last week was, you know, they stopped by our booth and talk about, geez, I've had this fixed product now for the last 7 years, and Jack is paying me 3%. And I go, why would you still have that if it's paying you 3%? Now, that's a lot better than CDs. I understand that. But there's products today that's going to guarantee you higher than 3%. And why would you want to stay in that product? I mean, you need to continue at every age. I don't care if you're 85, 90. You need to continue to educate yourself and find better products.
Well, and definitely make adjustments to the portfolio, because I know one thing that we can all get caught up in is buying a stock when we're younger or a local company that you've held for many, many years and has done well, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's other opportunities out there, and we're not saying jump ship totally. Maybe repositioning some of it to another sector of the market is always good. You know, another thing, Jack, you talk about this. We do it at our house, too. I know some people don't do it at all, but sit down with your spouse and talk to them about the budget, talk to them about money, each individual goals, things that you want to purchase, and, you know, set up a savings plan for that. And it's just talking and communicating is a very important part of this education process.
Well, and I think it's a very important education process of who you marry. I mean, let's talk about budgets before you get married, not after you say I do. And if you're marrying a person who has no budget, doesn't understand a budget, and doesn't want to talk about money, those are red flags.
Well, yeah.
Those are red flags,
yeah,
out of the gate.
Well, and a lot of things come into picture here. You know, you have people that you get married, and you may have credit card debt that you inherit in that way, and you need to be careful. You need to know these things before going into it.
So, yeah, creating a budget. One of these things is also knowing your credit score, because, you know, credit scores are important, and they are important with insurance, you know, your insurance. If you buy car insurance, if you buy house insurance, they look and evaluate your score of how much you pay based on your credit score. And you also, you know, it's easy to get to. There's a lot of different ways to go out there and get it. But if you definitely borrow money, they look at your credit score, your payment history. So that is one that you need to just look at every 6 months. Part of this is just, we're talking about today, is mid-year checkup on your credit score.
Well, the most important thing about the credit score, you can go out and find out a credit report. You can get one once a year from all three agencies that's free to you. And you can review that to make sure that there's nothing that's been reported on there that's incorrect. And if there is something that's incorrect, or a credit card's been, you know, that you've closed but it doesn't show as closed, you need to go out there and contact the agencies. You need to contact the credit card companies, and you need to make sure that they report to the credit score. You know, something, you know, talk about that, Jack. You're aware of this because I shared this with you. It was early this year I received a letter from a bank, and the bank said that they inadvertently reported to the credit score companies that we filed for bankruptcy, and this was going to show on our credit score. But then we got the letter after the fact stating that they had cleaned it up. So it's like they didn't tell us, and all of a sudden they told us, and then, you know, I could have been applying for a loan, and that could have really screwed up my loan process. So it's so, so important to check your credit score, at least your reports on a yearly basis.
Yep. One of these other ones is clean up your accounts. Just met with a young lady. She was 63, had quit work. She had a 403B. She had some CDs. She had an annuity. She had a Roth at a bank that she had it for 2 years and they never invested it. She had an old IRA out there, and she had a regular account at a brokerage firm. So she had six different firms that had her money, and she really didn't understand any of them. So I've been working on this for 3 months. I mean, slowly getting her to understand what she's got. That's most important, is when you try to clean up stuff is what you got. What do you have? And then what is this trying to do for you now and in retirement? Is it a good place to be? If it's a good place to be, then I'm just going to transfer it in, and I'm going to take charge of it, and I'll put my name on it. If it's not doing what it should be doing for her, then we need to say, where can we do better to support your income or support what you're going to get a raise in the future? So a lot of people have so much stuff that they have no clue why they have it, and is it good for you?
Well, let's take a short break. We're going to talk about more cleaning up your finances here in your mid-year checkup. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. We're here for our last section. We're talking about mid-year checkup and cleaning up things mid-year.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about getting educated. We're talking about your budget. Now, if you don't have a budget, you can actually go to our website right now. We have a great website. You could go to www.cooleygodfrey.com. That's KOELEGODFREY.com. And we have a budget sheet right online that you can download. If you have Excel spreadsheet, that's way, or you can call our office at 616-931-1223. Touch any button on that phone. That would be, you could go to Janet at Extension 4, but she's on vacation for a couple of weeks, but you could call me at Extension 3, and I'll just actually send it to you or put it in the mail to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great budget sheet that you need to have. And that's one of the things that's so important. Where's your money going?
Well, and what helps with knowing where your money goes is automating your finances, which is also one on our list here today. And automation is just awesome. You can go online. You can set up automatic payments. You know, one thing, Jackie, I know a long time ago, he said, Carrie, you need to set up your credit card so that if you're gone or sick or you miss something, you set up your credit card to at least pay the minimum every month. So you don't get a late charge.
No, wait. I never told you to pay the minimum. I say pay it off.
Well, I know. You said pay it off, but set up the automation part of it to at least pay the minimum so you don't have a late payment.
Well, I always, as soon as I get a credit card, I get them all online. And I get them both. I get paper. So I immediately pay it on the day it's due.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's typically due on a Saturday and Sunday. Well, you're not going to get it there on Saturday and Sunday. You get it there on Monday. It's late.
Mm-hmm.
I pay it the day it's due. And you know what? It doesn't get pulled from my checking account until Monday.
As long as it's posted.
As long as it's posted, it's online, and I pay it automatically the day it's due.
Well, and what's so nice about that is the automation part of it, like you've mentioned too, if you're gone, sometimes things get missed. You're on a vacation. You're out of the country. Those are things where, I missed, but at least you're not going to get that late charge, which can be a big fee on that.
But, you know, I just met with a lady from Kalamazoo, a longtime customer, nearly 20 years, and she's retired, but she's been working 40 hours a week as a contractor, which is from her previous firm, and now she's down to 7 hours a week, and she goes from 40. So I said, how is your budget? She goes, I don't know. I haven't watched my money. She goes, everything's automated, so I'm not really sure what I pay. So that's a negative.
On the automation,
You know, one thing about doing the bills by hand is you realize what you're paying. And now the downside of automation, and believe me, I do like automation, is the fact that you don't know where the budget's coming. So in my budget sheet that I have the budget sheet and the day it comes out. So if you take a look at my budget sheet, here's what I get. And then this comes out on the 1st, this comes out on the 3rd, this comes out on the 4th, this comes out on the 5th. And then, you know, we pay ourselves every 2 weeks. So then I kind of match up the budget on when it's due. So you can do it by hand, you can do it whatever, but if you don't have a handle on where you're spending the money, you're in trouble,
mm-hmm.
especially when you retire if you don't have where the money's going. So I believe in automation, but most people can't say if they have automation. What are you paying for electric? I don't really know. It's automated.
Mm-hmm.
What are you paying for gas? But I don't really know. It's automated.
Well, and the other thing is on the budget is if you automate things, you tend to forget about some of those.
Well, that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and absolutely.
So you need to know where they're going, and sometimes people prefer to do it by paying it with a check. How about paying off debts? You know, it's very important out there to look at the current debts, you know, loans that you have out there, house, car, a student loan, maybe you bought a couch for 6 months or a year with no interest. You know, list all those things on a sheet and put an order of how to pay those off. And usually you want to go and pay off some of those higher interest ones first and combine it with some of the smaller ones just so you get like a snowball effect. You can start building up steam and keep rolling here, but you know, look at the list of debts that you have and say, hey, I want to pay this off and set a goal of paying it off in 6 months or a year. Or maybe you have cash in the bank that you could do it right now without depleting your emergency fund. But it's very, very important to look at your debts, look what you have out there, so that you know. And that's part of that whole budget process, is knowing your debts.
Well, you know, part of the budget process also is having enough cash on hand. And this past week has been Senior Citizen Planning Week, because it seemed like I have a lot of people who are coming to us as new customers. And
is that going to become a new holiday, like yesterday was Donut Day?
I didn't even eat a donut yesterday. But if, you know, the new employee here wants to go out right now, Claire wants to go out and get us a donut, that would really be nice.
Okay.
That would really be nice. So I like chocolate, by the way, Claire. So building, you know, one of the things is building cash, and people have to understand you need to have emergency cash, and you need to have cash that's the monthly cash flow. And some people like to have $50,000 to $100,000 in cash. And I go, you're losing 6 to 7% annually by having this in lazy money. Lazy money is part of your inventory. Where is your money? Is it lazy? And I met with some people at Royal Park this week, and yeah, Jack, why don't you just send me an extra $500? I go, what's in your cash amount? I got $35,000. I'm not sending you a nickel because I got too much cash. And I said, I'll be glad to turn that on. But next time we turn it on, it might be 525 because you reinvested these dividends, and now we can send you 525. Until you fill that up and say, okay, now I have enough cash, we'll turn it off. But some people are just not forthcoming to say, we have too much cash, because they like to talk about their cash. So you always want to, you know, talk about your cash and where it's coming from.
And some of that with the cash is a generational thing. I think back to my grandpa. He liked to have, you know, $60,000 available in checking, savings, available cash in his pocket. That was his comfort level. But he came through the Depression, so some of those is a generational thing, too, of how much. But a general rule of thumb of what you should keep in cash for emergency or what-if money is 3 to 6 months of living expenses. So if you have, you know, $2,000 a month in living expenses or $1,000 a month in living expenses, you should keep $6,000 to $12,000 in cash so you have, you know, that 6 month cushion if you would lose a job, you're disabled, laid off work for a while. Those are why you have emergency monies, easy to access, money to get to.
Here's another real interesting one is, you know, we had a mom die the last couple of weeks. Usually have a couple of people in our practice die each month. And a mom died, and son came in and said, okay, you know, I'd like to review my mom's IRA, which is going to be mine. He's 23 years old. He's going to get $18,000. And his thought process was, Carrie, is to take that out and remodel his house and sell his house. And I said, I don't think you understand what this $18,000 is going to do for you in retirement. And I actually gave them the Investment Company of America's guide. And I didn't pull that out till I said, okay, you're going to work another 42 years. If we do rule of 72, over a 42 period, you're going to get 12%. That's what the market's done, 12%. Hard to believe, but that's what it's. So I said, your money's going to double every 6 years.
So the 18 will become 36.
Well, it's, here 36. It is, 36, 72, 144, 288, 576, $1 million. How can that be? So I pulled the ICA guide out, and I said, you pick on this chart 42 years. And it was perfect. It was $1 million. I mean, I didn't have that planned. It was perfect. That's what it is. He goes, I think you're keeping the money now. But it's that realization of,
well, it boils back to
kids,
educating them. Yeah.
But 42 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to have in the right configuration. But that's just in one mutual fund. It's done 12%. Now, there's been down years. And, you know, so I had a lady call me, or she came in this week from that workshop. And she says, you know, I pulled all my money out of the market in 1980. I go, you did what? She goes, yeah, all my friends were losing. So I go back to the chart since 1934. And I said, we haven't had three down years ever. There's never been three down years. There's been two, and there's been two like four times. That's it. And I said, well, when did you pull your money out? Well, I don't know. It could have been the 70s. I go, well, it could have been 73 and 74, but through the 80s, there was no down years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting, and she says, all my friends lost money. I go, well, none of our customers lost money. Like, where are you coming from with this thought process of everybody lost money? Some accounts were down for 2 years in a row, but nobody lost money. Well, isn't that interesting?
It is, because a lot of it boils down to timing, and nobody can time the market, and one of the keys is staying in the market with good quality investments. You know, another thing, too, you know, part of this mid-year checkup, part of, you know, as we're coming to the end of our show here, is start investing. You know, if you haven't done any investments, sit down with a planner, a financial planner, educate yourself, go through your budget, go through, you know, building your cash, automating your finances, paying off your debt, and start investing. So investors or clients, yeah, I should say, or people, hey, we thank you for listening today. And Jack, our show has been brought to you by Mary Jo Borman, hasn't it?
Yep. Mary Jo Borman is in our building at 123 East Main. You can contact her at 616-772-2487. Next week, Stacy Campice live with Carrie. So thanks for being with us today at WHDC Money Matters. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Jack Godfrey and Carrie Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zealand. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Be sure to join us next Saturday at this same time for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.